السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ آن دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سو ابو عبیدہ رضی اللہ عنہ اینڈ خالد بن ولید رضی اللہ عنہ دین ٹرن ٹوورڈز ہومس آفٹر ڈمسکس واز ناؤ کانکرڈ. ایز ان وی سیڈ دیٹ پورشن آف دیٹ آرمی بیزنٹائن آرمی واز ان ہومس, دے کوڈ ہیو ریسپونڈڈ رائٹ. So they now the Muslim army under Abu Ubaidah and Khalid radhiyallahu anhuma turned their attention towards Homs. Now this instruction was given by Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu. Abu Ubaidah radhiyallahu anhu placed Shurahjil bin Hasanah radhiyallahu anhu in charge of Jordan. So Shurahjil took Amr bin al-As along with him towards Baisan and laid siege to the city. The inhabitants chose to test their luck in the battlefield and came out to fight. Many of the Romans lost their lives in the ensuing battle. The survivors sued for peace on terms similar to the agreement struck by the inhabitants of Damascus itself. So jizya was imposed on them, as well as a tribute from their agricultural produce. A similar agreement was also struck by Abu al-Awar al-Sulami with the people of Tiberias. Now we come to the Battle of Homs. Abu Ubaidah radhiyallahu anhu continued his pursuit of the retreating Byzantines to Homs, and they now laid siege to this city. Khalid bin Walid radhiyallahu anhu soon joined him. The siege occurred in the extreme winter cold. The inhabitants, they remained patiently inside the walled city. Right? They had the comfort of being within the city. And their hope was that the Mujahideen will, due to the cold, they will be forced to give up the siege. The Muslims, however, showed a lot of sabr. The cold was so bitter that we have multiple accounts indicating that some of the Romans lost their legs due to frostbite. This was despite them having proper boots and everything. On the other hand, the Muslims were wearing just sandals, because the Arabs, they are used to wearing sandals. Up to today, you go to Saudi, they're still wearing sandals. They were sandals, the Arabs. So now this modern ones working in all these corporates and all, they starting to wear shoes and everything. The general Arab, they wear sandals. So they were wearing just sandals, but they never suffer those kind of injuries. All is from Allah Ta'ala. All is from Allah Ta'ala. Finally, they outlived the winters, and spring reinvigorated the Muslim army. Some senior Byzantine suggested that, look, we should just ask for peace. But the idea was rejected, because they thought, how can we ask for peace while our king is nearby? One day, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum shouted out, Allahu Akbar. This cry was so powerful that the whole city shook with it. They shouted it for a second time, and this caused some of the walls to crack. This was the effect when they said Allahu Akbar, because how much they believed with such yaqeen, it caused the city walls to crack. Then they called it out for a third time, and this leveled some floors. At this, some of the ordinary people now of the town of Homs, they spoke to the rulers now, the edict, spoke to them. They said to them, don't you see what is happening and what has happened so far? Why don't you make peace with these people? Just make peace with them. So eventually the leaders of Homs, they too opted to enter into a peace treaty with the Muslims, right? So it was similar to the terms as the people of Damascus. Muslims were to receive half the homes, right? And also receive a tribute on the produce, whatever they, you know, cultivating. And then they must pay jizya, right? Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh sent the fifth of the booty to Umar radiallahu anh. He entered the city with a large army, along with many notable Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anh and Hazrat Miqdad radiallahu anh. He also wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, informing him that Hiraqal had stopped the Euphrates River from flowing into the Arabian Peninsula, so that the flow was intermittent. So they put some obstruction. Right? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh told Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh to maintain his station in the city. That you now secure yourself properly in Homs. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh then sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh towards Qanas Sarin, another place. When he reached there, the locals, aided by neighboring Arab Christians, put up a resistance. Khalid radiallahu anh engaged them in fierce combat. This resulted in a great number of deaths, especially the Byzantines, including their leader, whose name was Minas. He too was killed. Then the Christian Arabs, they then came forward and they said that, no, we didn't come to this battle willingly. We didn't want to fight, we were forced now by the Romans. So Khalid radiallahu anh accepted their excuse. Then he proceeded to the city itself, but the inhabitants of the city shut the gates. Khalid radiallahu anh said to them, even if you had to be living in clouds, Allah Ta'ala would either carry us up to you or bring you down to us. He remained steadfast until the city was finally conquered. When Umar radiallahu anh got news of this, he said, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He knew people better than me. He understood people's strengths better than me. And then he said, I did not remove Khalid radiallahu anh from command due to mistrust. In other words, there's no shortcoming in Khalid. I know he's a good person, everything, trustable, wonderful war strategist, great mujahid, muttaqi person, everything. So I didn't remove him because of mistrust. I only feared. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu's foresight. He said, I feared that people will start trusting on him for success. Their gaze will shift from Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala was giving so many victories on the hands of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Even the kuffar used to shake. When they hear Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is coming, finished. They say, oh, then we lost. And you see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given Khalid radiallahu anhu the title, Saifum min Suyufillah. Now, amongst the kuffar, a myth spread, you know, a false, like, you know, a story now, spread amongst the kuffar, that Allah Ta'ala sent one sword down from the heavens and gave it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that sword to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. That's why nobody can defeat him. They took it literally. Saifum min suyufillah. So, in fact, they asked him also. Some kuffar, they even asked him this. That, do you really have a sword from the heavens? Allah's sword, like, you know? So Umar radiallahu anhu was worried about the iman of the people. That now their gaze will shift from Allah Ta'ala and come to Khalid radiallahu anhu. No, because Khalid is here, that's why we're victorious. No, the gaze must remain on Allah Ta'ala. Umar radiallahu an ordered Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan in 15 Hijri now to move towards Caesarea. Right? He wrote to Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu an, I have appointed you in charge of Caesarea. March towards it and seek Allah's help against it. And repeatedly say, see, he gave him a zikr to make. Repeatedly say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahu Rabbuna. Our trust, our hope, our protector is Allah. What an excellent supporter, what an excellent helper. Keep on reading this. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu laid siege to the city, but the people ventured out to raid. The people, now they coming to raid the Muslim army. Finally, a decisive battle took place in which the Byzantines fought ferociously. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu remained resolute and the battle ended with victory for the Muslims. 80,000 of the kuffar lost their lives. 20,000 of them surrendered. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent news of the conquest and also 1/5 of the booty to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, some of the opinion that this Caesarea was conquered after Baitul Maqdis. And some say no, it was conquered first and then came the conquest of Jerusalem. Right? So Allah Ta'ala knows best. Now Palestine was governed by a Romanian commander called Aretion, meaning commander-in-chief. He was second in authority only to the emperor himself. So he was below the emperor. He was regarded as the most wise, insightful and effective Roman of his time. He had placed two huge garrisons in Ramallah, north of Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem itself. Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu about the situation, seeking his advice, right, and further orders, what should we do, we've got this huge, army here, etc. What must we do now? Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back his famous sentence, we are going to put our Aretion against their Aretion. Now let's see who wins. So what he meant was that both the leaders were the wisest among their people. And it was the victory achieved by Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu at the second battle of Ajnadain in 15 AH that had opened Muslim access to Palestine and paved the way for the conquest of Jerusalem. Ramallah was just about 18 miles from Jerusalem. Right? Up to now, it's still called Ramallah, you go there. The two garrisons were placed in such close proximity to guard against the expected Muslim invasion by Amr bin al-As. Right? Because now Jerusalem was the most important city. That's where now Aqsa is. Right? The Jerusalem garrison was commanded by Aretion himself and it was reinforced by the Roman soldiers who had run away from Ajnadain. The garrison at Ramallah was commanded by a person by the name of Tazaruk. So these were the main stages leading up to the Muslim invasion of Jerusalem. Umar radiallahu anhu's plan was to divert the Roman army away from Amr bin al-As in Palestine, while dealing a fatal blow to the forces gathered at Ajnadain, so that Muslims could focus after that on capturing Jerusalem and whatever remained of the Levant. Right? So Umar radiallahu anhu ordered Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to proceed with his cavalry towards Caesarea to keep the garrison there preoccupied so they can't hinder Amr bin al-As. As for Amr himself, he too followed the Khalif's policy by sending Al-Qama bin Hakim al-Farasi and Masruq al-Makki towards Jerusalem, that you all go and face the garrison there. So all these garrisons will be occupied now. He then sent Abu Ayyub Maliki with another force to keep the garrison at Ramallah preoccupied. So one can't come to help the other one. You got them separated now. Reinforcements had still not reached Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu when he sent another brigade under the command of Muhammad bin Amr to bolster the troops already at Jerusalem. Similarly, he sent further reinforcements under the command of Ammara bin Amr bin Umayyah Zimri to the brigade at Ramallah. Amr radiallahu anhu himself remained at Ajnadain, waiting for the decisive confrontation with the Aretion. At the same time, as the Roman guard at Jerusalem was trying to stop the Muslims from getting close to the city walls, and battle was raging around the city, both the Romans and Muslims were amassing troops at Ajnadain. Now the main battle was to take place here. So Tabri says, the two sides fought a fierce battle like the Battle of Yarmouk until many soldiers were dead. The Arab Aretion faced the Roman Aretion in battle and prevailed over him. The Roman Aretion turned tail along with his remaining forces and fled towards Jerusalem, seeking refuge behind its walls. The Muslims let them flee until they were inside the city. Tabri also mentioned that both the Muslim brigades at Ramallah and Jerusalem rejoined Amr radiallahu anhu at Ajnadain, and the entire army then marched towards Jerusalem. The Muslims laid a tight siege to the city of Jerusalem under the command of Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu. The city was strongly fortified. Even up to today, you go there, that it's strongly fortified, right? Al-Waqidi describes the city walls as being protected with artillery pieces like mangonels and infantry patrols of swordsmen with magnificent body armor and shields. I don't know what's this mangonels. You'll have to check up the meaning of that. It is reported that actual fighting started 3 days after the siege began, when the Muslims advanced towards the walls. They were showered with arrows that they received on their leather shields. Each day the fighting would continue from morning till evening. Finally, on the 11th day, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu joined the Muslim army at Jerusalem in the company of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and also Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr. The whole Muslim army now came here now. When the Romans saw this, now they were terrified. The siege continued for 4 months, with fierce fighting taking place every day. The Muslims had to endure rain, snow, and bitter cold. Finally, the Romans gave up all hope of further resistance. The arch patriarch Sophronius decided to deter the Muslims by applying psychological pressure. He had a letter written to Amr radiallahu anhu telling him that it is impossible to invade the city. There's no way you can come in the city. Aretion also wrote to Amr radiallahu anhu. Now look at his letter to Amr bin al-As. He says, "You are my friend and you are my equal. You have the same status among your people as I have among my people. By God, you cannot gain any victory at Palestine except the one you gained at Ajnadi. So return, don't be fooled by that single victory. Otherwise you will face the fate of others who came before you. Defeat. All the people who came and tried to take Jerusalem, they were defeated. So you can't penetrate the city, don't waste your time, rather go home. Amr radiallahu anhu wrote back to him, I will be the conqueror of this part of the world. And sent the one line letter. He just wrote one line. Said, I will be the conqueror of this part of the world. He sent it with a messenger. And he told him that I want you to observe Aretion's expression. What's his reaction when he reads this reply? You see, they too were. The Romans thought that they are now applying psychological tactics, right? But Sahaba, they are guided by Allah Ta'ala. So he said, I want you to watch his expression. Upon reading the letter, Aretion could not help laughing. And he said, the one who will conquer Jerusalem will be a man named Umar. Now this is Amr bin al-As. So Aretion is saying, in other words, he's saying that this man is saying he's going to conquer. The man to conquer this city will be Umar, a man named Umar, not Amr. When Amr learnt this, Amr bin al-As, he knew now that they were waiting for Umar radiallahu anhu himself to conquer the city. He wrote about this development to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and told him, Aretion does not believe anyone would conquer the city except you. I have been waging a ferocious war, but it seems that the final honors are saved for you. What do you say? So Umar radiallahu anhu, after making mashwara, he set off with reinforcements to the Levant, leaving Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in charge of Madina Munawara. Now the Shia, they tried to paint a picture that there was, you know, hatred between Umar radiallahu anhu and Ali radiallahu anhu. It's all lies. When Umar radiallahu anhu was going now to Jerusalem, who he left in charge? Ali radiallahu anhu. He placed him on his seat. He camped at Jabiya, where the people of Jerusalem came to him asking for peace. They came to Umar Rannan asking for peace. So this is how Aqsa, Jerusalem was conquered. So there is a very famous treaty that was entered into between Umar radiallahu anhu and the Byzantines. If ever you go to Palestine, inshallah, Allah partake you, we will read this treaty, inshallah, and then when we continue with the biography. But if you go to Palestine and you go to do ziyarat, so one is the ziyarat where you go to the out, you know, you go to Khalil Hebron, you go to Ramallah, you go to the West Bank, etc. Right? And the other is the ziyarat that you do within the old city. There is one ziyarat you do of the Haram itself. And then there's a ziyarat, included in that ziyarat generally, is a ziyarat you do of the city. So, some people take you, some people don't take you. But when you go with your guide who's taking you, you must tell him you want to go to Masjid Umar. So outside Masjid Umar, on a plaque, this treaty is there. This whole treaty is there, on a plaque. You'll see it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll stop there. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.